Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Louis D'Souza and Astrid Kaufman. Today is Monday, January the 6th, 2020. Continued Happy New Year to you all. It's 4 p.m. New York time, and wherever you are in the world, thanks for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And I'm happy that the three of us are back on Monday for 2020. I mean, it just seems like yesterday it was 2019. It's hard to believe, but just a week ago. And it also seems like it was just the other day, Louis, that you were completely wonderfully healthy. What the heck happened?
I mean, well, I was thinking about 2020 and, you know, 2020 vision and perfect sight and all the rest of it. Well, you can't get perfect sight unless you haven't got perfect sight first, isn't it?
No. You're supposed to imagine it. You're supposed to imagine it. You have to feel it.
Well, that's one of the most important things I really want everybody to understand, because I keep on saying things like, you know, I enjoy being sick and all the rest of it, that I do get sick, that I do have problems. And, you know, it's a fantastic journey. And I really want people to be with me. You know, I've got my foot propped up on a upside down washing basket under my under my table here to keep it elevated, because I tore my calf muscle on a skiing. So, you know, a lot of these things happen to people, and, you know, it happens to all of us. And it's how you deal with them. What are you focusing on now? So one of the things I did, Walt, which was quite fun, which I would never have done before because I didn't like it from my Christian days, I asked my LOA group guys to please pray for me.
Ooh.
From an LOA perspective. So, you know, I said to them, guys, can you please spend 40 seconds or more visualizing my right calf muscle knitting itself together, getting together and getting to perfect shape? Can you visualize that? Can you see it? Can you just visualize it for me? And I put it out and I got a great response. And I put it out to anybody who's listening to LOA today as well. Because what I want people to do is understand the difference between somebody saying, pray for me, and not really knowing what to do, and praying for me and being very clear about what you're giving the universe to react and respond to.
Okay. Because I think most of us have experienced times where we were not well for whatever reason. Maybe we injured ourselves, like you've injured yourself. Maybe we just did something and we don't even know what we did. That's what happened to me almost 2 years ago. I injured my ligaments in my knees, and I still don't know to this day exactly what I did. I haven't figured it out, but boy, did it hurt. And if you're in one of those situations now, how the heck do you get out of it? And maybe you do ask for somebody to give you support and so forth, but what are you supposed to do with that support? I mean, some people will say, well, you know, you just have to get yourself into that high-flying place and it'll all take care of itself. Other people will say, well, it doesn't matter what I do. I mean, just I don't get better. So it's a good place for clarifying, especially in the year of clarity.
It is, yeah, in the 2020 year. So I just wanted to wish all our listeners, a fantastic 2020. And I hope your vision of what you want is clear.
Yes.
And based on that, you know, Astrid and I were talking about what we were talking about now earlier, and she said something like, you know, people who've got no rain and saying, you know, I really want this rain to stop. I mean, this lack of rain to stop. And, you know, I really want it finished and I want it over. And I, you know.
Yeah, we were talking about Australia specifically, because there's a lot of rain in other places. So it's
true.
The opposite, but we were talking about Australia and the situation there. Yeah.
And, you know, from that perspective, you are not going to get anywhere. All right. From the lack of no rain. All right. So it's going to be very clear. Wouldn't it be great if it started raining again? What does that feel like? Oh, I remember that smell in the air, you know, especially after it's been dry and all the rain hits the dust and everything starts sorting out, and that gorgeous smell and the, you know, and you just start visualizing it and you start becoming very visceral and, you know, you just get into it in your mind, and that is what works. So, guys, if you can spend 14 seconds or more on that calf muscle of mine, I'm going to ask you to pray for me. And I can't believe I'm saying those words. But, you know, if you understand how to pray for somebody.
Yes.
It's fantastic. So, yeah.
Well, plus your example that you and Astrid brought up about Australia and what's going on with the lack of rain and high temperatures in Australia is very reminiscent of the story that Esther Hicks tells, voicing Abraham, about what happened to Esther when she went out into her backyard in Texas at one point because she noticed there was no rain. And it's actually a story that's written up in the books that they've sold. Basically, in a nutshell, what happened is she went out there and she was complaining that everything was so dry and the poor animals couldn't get anything to drink and so forth. And Abraham says to her, well, you really expect rain to come in that position of lack that you're in right now?
Yeah.
Mm. Remember that story?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's
no,
the same story.
I've missed that one. I don't remember that one at all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's a cool story because, like you just did, they turn it around and say, well, what you need to focus on is what you know you really want. And you, right now you're focusing on the lack. Turn on the focus of what it is that you want to have happen. So what do you want to have happen? Mm. And she thinks about it for a minute. She says, well, I want there to be plenty of water so that the grass can green up, everything can green up, the animals can have water to drink, everything becomes more beautiful. Like you said, the smell in the air gets better and so on and so forth. Abraham says, now you're attracting rain. And then later on that afternoon, on the news forecast, they report a freak storm in the vicinity of where the Hicks lived. Wow. There in Texas. So, yeah, it was just the same exact story.
So, guys, now you know what to do.
That's right.
Times a million, times 10 million, you know, just 14 seconds. Just.
It's nice to know there's a time limit. You know, I actually have a question about that. Because I was thinking about that 14-second rule just yesterday, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was thinking in terms of when we put it out there, or actually we're putting it in is what we're really doing. When we're going within and we're feeling and we're imagining and we're creating within ourselves that feeling, there is a level of, I'll call it passion, but I could also call it volume, like the volume of feeling, how strong the feeling is, how intense it is. And I'm wondering how that plays with the 14-second rule. Because I have a very strong suspicion that when the feeling is really big, 14 seconds kind of goes out the window. It's an average, after all. I mean, what do you guys think about that?
So the more aligned you are, the less time you need is the simple answer.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And the more aligned you are, the better it's going to feel.
Yeah. And the more aligned you are, the more you believe. The more you believe means the more you've thought clearly about what you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's too simple for most people to grasp.
Well, it gives us something to talk about.
you know, I was thinking about the Abraham Hicks teaching, because if you want to look what the Abraham Hicks teaching has taught us, this is it. I'm going to try to summarize it.
Okay.
They've taught us that there's a universal law. They've taught us that the universal law magnifies thought. They've taught us that you create your own reality. They've taught us that there's nothing you cannot be or do or have. Now, if you just stop there, that is gargantuous.
It's mind-blowing.
It is stunning. So, you know, they've taught us that we can become like Superman. They've taught us that if we want to grow an extra arm, we can. They've taught us that.
Interesting you mentioned that one, because there was an email. Abraham Hicks has that email list that they send out to. And I think it was just a couple days ago. It was a quote from a talk where somebody asked, well, why isn't it that we don't grow third arms? You just mentioned third arms. I thought that was perfect. And the reply came back, well, it's because none of you believe you can grow a third arm.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, you can – I could tell what Abram's answer is going to be on 90% of the stuff, you know. And their philosophy makes complete sense to me. You know, the reason why we haven't created all these things – is as clear as why we've got them, you know. So we've got that whole gambit covered, which is fantastic.
And 14 seconds is really good, because if you aren't in that space, then 14 seconds is not a long time, and it feels very doable to focus for 14 seconds. And if you practice, the more you practice focusing for 14 seconds, the easier it becomes.
Isn't it interesting? I mean, because it used to be 17 seconds, and once it got to 14, all of a sudden it seemed so much easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, 14 seconds is like it can feel like a long time if you're really not in a good space.
If you haven't done it, yeah, especially.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, by practicing it becomes easier and easier. But it's a doable thing. It's really, you know, if someone said 68 seconds, which I think is in this book as well, Ask and It Is Given.
It is.
They talk about 68 seconds.
Well, 68 seconds is 17 times 4, I think.
Correct.
17 times 4.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they used to say that if you just focus for 17 seconds, that is the universe giving you about 2,000 man hours of effort instantly back to you. And
wow.
They said that if you go all the way to 68 seconds, that it's like millions of hours.
That's significant.
At the 14 second level, that means 68 has been reduced to 56. So it's even shorter now.
Yeah. It is.
It's not even 1 minute.
It's not even a minute. Yeah.
Wow. That is amazing.
So that's what's great about it, isn't it? Because we now start feeling empowered. We now start seeing that we can change our reality. We start seeing that it is only our reality we're changing.
And I mentioned the question of the passion, the intensity of the feeling, how strongly you feel it, how like you described it, how much in tune you are, how clear you are about the way you're thinking and feeling about it. When I was coming up with that idea and thinking about it that way, I was doing one of my Pivot Pals things.
Oh, yeah.
I have my little video up there that I created almost a year ago to help me visualize and get into the feeling for attracting three things in my life that I really would like to have in my life, and which I'm getting really close to getting on all three of them. The thing that kind of was sticking with me was that there are some days when I will play that video and I will feel it really intensely because I'm really in that vortex.
Yeah.
And there are other times I don't feel it anywhere nearly as intensely, that's what got me thinking about, you know, the intensity makes a big difference. The intensity, I mean, like we were saying that the 14 seconds is an average, is like a planet-wide average.
Yeah.
You know, but at any given time, we can shrink that time zone or time stretch, or we can stretch it way out to a minute and a half because we're so poorly focused on it. I mean, it can work either way. So
well,
to me, that's almost like a get-out-of-jail-free card, because that means if you can get yourself into a really good feeling place, screw 14 seconds. You're there in a second and a half. I mean, it's just whatever level of intensity you can bring to the table.
I mean, all the gurus... many of the gurus have been fantastically good at instant manifestation. I don't know if you've ever heard of Milarepa, but it's an incredible story. If you can ever get a book on the life of Milarepa, do it.
Okay.
So he was a Tibetan Buddhist monk. But he wasn't really a Tibetan Buddhist or monk. He was a man who... fascinating story. I'll give you a bit of background on it. So Milarepa was brought up with a family and the father died. So they stripped the wife and child of all property and all the rest of it. And of course, she's only a woman, so she doesn't get anything, blah, blah, blah. So her mother taught Milarepa to hate. And to hate these people intensely. And you know what a mother can do to a child when it comes to that subject.
Well, sure.
Or anybody for that matter.
In either direction. It doesn't matter.
In either direction, yeah.
Yeah.
So he became so good and started studying the occult that he was able to create locusts and all other things and plagues. And he just let them rip onto these guys. And he was incredibly powerful and manipulative and all the rest of it. And he... really went to town on them. Then he decided that he wanted to study under this one teacher, but this one teacher didn't want him as a student because he was a black art student. And
which is another way of saying he was just a perpetually pissed human being that he didn't want to be around.
Yeah, probably. So he devised a clever plan. I mean, I'm really simplifying it. It's a lot more involved. He devised this clever plan. He said to Milarepa, build me a house on this space right here. So Milarepa got all the rocks in the local area and he started building this thing, and he took like 3 years. and once it was kind of finished, the master looked at him and said, no, no, I actually wanted about 3 steps further that way. So he had to destroy this entire thing, move it 3 feet and start building the whole thing again. And he had to do it 3 times, and then the master still refused him.
So those are slow learners. That's all.
It's a journey. It's a journey.
So eventually, Milarepa landed up, I'm summarizing a whole lot of things here. He landed up in a cave where he decided to study his own enlightenment. And the only thing he really had for food was a tree. And he used to slowly but surely eat the leaves of the tree. So the animals came because he was so in tune with the vortex, came and lay on him and kept him warm at night.
Oh my.
You know, water dripped into his mouth. He ate the leaves of the tree and stayed alive. So he was this emancipated green alien sitting in the lotus position when some herders found him. And they saw him and they said to him, what the hell is that? What are you going on with you? And this got back to his sister. His sister started bringing him a bowl of rice a day or something up into the mountains. And he was known to be able to run long distances without ever fatiguing, you know, or, you know, and just like bouncing off the rocks, which is a famous Buddhist technique which they use. Maharishi Mahesh Yogi was teaching it in transcendental meditation. Mm-hmm. To his guys, you start off by sitting in the lotus and then bouncing around the place. That's how you start the process. So it ultimately boils down to levitation, which means the opposite of gravity, you know, being able to control gravity. So Milarepa went through all this, and eventually he was asked, please come to the monastery. And he didn't want to belong to any group or sect really anymore. He had realized that he was way past all that. None of that is of any importance. So he eventually went down to the temple, but he didn't really want anything to do with it. So basically, long story short, he started his own group and taught them. And it was all fascinating, you know. And when he died, it was really incredible because every single student said Milarepa was with them at his death. And at his death, they had flowers falling down from the sky. So thousands of flowers fell down from the sky at his death. So it was just an incredible, incredible, incredible story of one of the many celebrated masters out there who have done things like this.
When did he live, Louis? What age, what period?
1800s. I don't know. It's a long, long time ago. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Interested.
I did actually see the date the other day again, because I was reading a Buddhist book again. Fascinating book, not quite as fascinating as Milarepa, but quite an interesting, what is it? Touch the Clouds, I think it's called. You can get it in Audible. Quite interesting. It gives you a great insight in Tibetan Buddhism from a very different perspective. Yeah.
All right. Before we started the show, we were going to spend time, and you've already started to do this a little bit. We're going to spend some time talking about the Law of Attraction version of prayer. Let's go into that a little bit more deeply.
So Milarepa, for example, was able to turn his prayer, which are thoughts. Does everybody understand that prayer is nothing but thoughts?
Well, let's start there. I mean, let's pretend that nobody knows anything. Start at ground zero.
So if you think about it, you're taught in the beginning to kneel at the edge of your bed and say, I pray for mommy, I pray for daddy, I pray for. And you know, I didn't get the impression when I was young that that had any power at all.
Personally. I was completely confused by the whole process, to be perfectly honest.
So when I was getting older and getting to all the spiritual stuff, I went to a Christian prayer group, and they sat around and they said, I want to pray for Joe Bloggs. I've got an exam and I hope they excel. And Joe Bloggs is Jane Doe is sick. You know, I really wanted to get you know, I wanted to get better. And when they came to me, I said, "Sorry, guys, I got a bit of a problem." And they're all, "What's this guy talking about?" I said, "You're asking me to pray without somebody's permission."
Oh, you boat rocker, you.
You're asking me to remove a lesson that the universe has given to that person, what made them sick, so that they don't learn a lesson. I don't quite get it. And, you know, they were very, they didn't have any answers for me, and they wanted me to move on quite quickly, so, which is all understandable. So I said, I'm sorry, guys. My only prayer is, may the blessings be, and be whatever anybody wants them to be, let them be. My mother struggled with that one. I said, "Sir, just let the blessings be." She said, "Be what? Be what?" And I said, "Just let them be, mother. Remember that song? Let it be."
The Beatles, you're their ugly head again. There we go. Let it be.
Ugly? I already enjoyed them. Well, bang, yes, bang, actually. Maxwell, silver hand.
You, yes, it like is. Hello, today. you are tuned in correctly.
Well, only Louis would pick the one song out of the entire repertoire that involves hitting somebody else on top of the head.
With a silver hammer.
With a silver hammer.
So you know that the Beatles, the drummer they had for a while was Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. So,
no, you're talking a little bit later.
You did know that, didn't you?
No, I was just going back to the pre-famous Beatles era when Pete Best was their drummer for a short time.
Right. Okay. So, you know, they went to his ashram, and a lot of their lyrics were sitting in the dust at Maharishi's ashram, writing these words. So, I was just wondering if "Bang Bang Maxwell's Silver Hammer" came out.
It could have. It was around that time. Yeah. Yeah. It could have. That's certainly when the lyrics kind of went off the cliff. So, I mean, it would fit, you know.
Yeah. So I had a friend in TM, so I got quite an inside view of the whole transcendental meditation group. It's quite fascinating, really. So going back to prayer. I went to this Christian group, and, you know, they weren't happy with the idea that you can pray for yourself and you can pray for others. Like, I have personally asked everybody on Aloe today, can you pray for my calf muscle only and pray for its repairing? I don't want you to pray for anything else. Okay. Nothing else. That, you don't have my permission to pray for anything else. You can still do it. I can't stop you, but I can tell you, I won't have too much power because I won't allow it. But that's the understanding of our prayer. If you want to pray for me to become a Christian, it's not going to work very well, but you can try.
You know? That's right.
you can have at you it. Can you can pray successfully and nicely and well if you're doing what somebody's asking you to do.
Yes. So,
and I don't feel we ask enough. I don't feel we say, "Can you help me with this, with your mind, with your thoughts? Can you, you know, when somebody says to me, I've been thinking about you. I like it." You know, if that comes from a genuine, nice person who I know have got good thoughts about me.
Well, yeah, there is that too. Yes. You do want to be selective.
Yeah, I do want to stipulate
when
that.
When Donald Trump said, no, I won't go there. But
let's not. So prayer is thought. Now, somebody said to me, I went to a group and I was teaching the law of attraction. She said, "Is the law of attraction God?" And it stumped me because I'd never heard that question before. And it's a good question.
Sure.
And I said, actually, I was stumped and I didn't have a good answer. I said, which was a ridiculous, not too ridiculous, but it was good for the time for what I knew. I said to her, you know, you can look at it as God if you want, but I don't. Those were my words. But I decided, it's because really whenever close. I get stumped by those kind of questions, how can I answer that better? Mm-hmm. So now my answer is the law of attraction is not the whole of God. But it was created by God, and by God, I mean by our higher selves.
Sure.
Source energy.
So yes. Our higher selves created the universal law of attraction. We created it so that we can come down and have a contrasting universe we can muck around with.
Yeah. I think that's a lot closer. Yeah. I'd even draw a parallel. I'd say the law of attraction is to God as watts and amps are to electricity. So source energy is God, in my view.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So if I replace source energy in that sentence, then the law of attraction is to source energy as watts and amps are to electricity. In other words, they're the units. They're the method. They're the mechanism, the conduit of electricity. Whereas electricity itself is electricity, you know. So it they work together, they go together, but they're not exactly the same thing. I think the same thing is true with source energy, which is God, and the law of attraction. They go together. They aren't the same thing. They aren't one and the same, but they work together.
Yeah, yeah, no, I completely agree. So, have you guys ever watched a sci-fi movie where maybe Merlin, you know, that BBC TV series? I'm sure you've watched it, Astrid. Where?
Keep going.
Well, it's King Arthur and all the rest of it. So you get the people using magic.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see the use of magic in some of these movies, I kind of align with it. I think I can do that.
Sure.
And there's a strong feeling that I am capable of actually doing these incredible things. And it's really interesting because your higher self is giving you a positive emotion, meaning that it is true. It's giving you personal validation that this is not just theoretical, but this is something you can manifest.
Well, energy can be manipulated.
Yeah.
I mean, and manipulation sounds quite negative, but I mean it in a very positive way, which is how you know, how magic works. You manipulate energy to create something, you know, either with the law of attraction or with your wand or whatever, imaginary wand, or just the focus of your thoughts.
Well, if we remember what the root of the word manipulate is, when you go back to, I don't know if it's Latin or Greek, but if you go back to the origins, it's to use the hand, to hold in the hand, to do things with the hand. That's what the man part is, the manipulate. And
yes,
so think
true.
About it that way. Now, all of a sudden, does it have
it
a negative connotation?
Sense.
Well, it depends. Do you have a negative connotation about how you're using your hand? If you do, then it has a negative connotation. If it doesn't, you know, then okay. It doesn't. It's, you know. Yeah.
Well, you know, whenever I hear something like that, guys, this is the solution, and it'll serve anybody who's listening to this podcast well for the rest of their lives. When you hear something like that, now Astrid was coming up with a contrast. They were seeing one side of it and seeing the other side of it. And then it becomes a bit of a mixed message and you're sitting there a little bit confused. Now, the clarity is very simple once you get it, because you can use it in so many situations, specifically the one you've just used, Astrid. Every subject's two subjects.
Mm-hmm.
Game over. All right, when you understand that, you understand that manipulating for yourself, there's no problem.
Mm.
Manipulating others, there is a problem. Okay, without their permission.
Which goes back to what you were saying about prayer. Yes,
right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then even the idea, I mean, I love the idea that every subject is two subjects, but even that one doesn't go far enough, because actually every subject is an infinite number of subjects. I mean, there are always degrees and transitions and you know, how much are we leaning this way and how much are we leaning that way and all that kind of thing.
But vibrationally, Walt, you'll be, whenever you're on any one of those millions, one of them will be for what you want and one of them will be not for what you want. And there'll be degrees of that as well. But one will be on one side of the scale and one will be on one of the other. So you really want to simplify it, as it is only two subjects. And let me focus on the one that I want, not the one I don't want.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot easier to think about it that way. So that's why I like the concept so much. No doubt about that.
Man loves to make things a lot more complicated. And
we're good at it.
Play in that mire of...
We've been working on it for a very long time.
It's complicated and confused and all the rest of it. And, you know, people go to Abram and said, oh, but I'm laugh crying. He says, no, you're either laughing or you're crying. You're either in a high vibration or you're low vibration. It's impossible to be in two vibrations at the same time.
But we can multitask. We're very good at that.
We can go to one side and then go to the other, go to one side and the other, but we're not doing... both at the same time.
At the same instant, no.
Yeah. And that is the important thing to understand.
That's exactly what multitasking is. It's very briefly being in this instant and that instant and this instant and that instant until you can't see.
That's your pivoting.
You can't talk about multitasking. You're a man.
Sure, I can. I can admit loudly and clearly that I used to multitask for years very poorly.
You mean you've got some yin in your yang?
I do. In fact, I used to get confused about the whole left brain, right brain thing, because I'm pretty able to draw from both sides. I mean, there are times like today. Today, I was completely left-brained. This was an entirely left-brain day. But I can just easily jump over to the right brain. So when I think about the conversations I've had where people say, well, I'm predominantly left-brained or I'm predominantly right-brained, I think to myself, really? Wow. That must be really limiting.
Well, you know, yeah. I just say to people who say things like that, as you believe, so it becomes.
Yeah, no kidding.
And it really, really annoys them. Really annoys them. It's like this guy who spent 2 hours with me in the sauna talking about somebody who believed the world was round, now believes the world is flat, and why? Because I was really curious. The Flat Earth Society is huge, and it's growing. Yeah. And Astrid's husband, my brother, he talks about that quite a bit.
He doesn't believe the world is flat.
But he talks about it. That's interesting.
No, but it's very interesting. He's very aware of all the different opinions in the world. That's his kind of nature.
Okay.
This guy was spending 2 hours talking about it, and I was really getting into it, and he really thought he had started to get to convince me that the earth was round. And I said to him that...
Flat or round.
Flat or round. I said to him, you know, you have spent a lot of time researching and getting a belief that the world is flat. And the universal law of attraction can do nothing other than bring you more evidence that the world is flat.
Yes.
And if I focus on getting more evidence that the world is round, I will get and collect more evidence that the world is round. He was so flabbergasted by the statement. He was so annoyed that he literally turned around and walked away. Yeah. You know, I've known this guy for a long time. I didn't say goodbye. I didn't say nothing. I've never seen him again, interestingly. He turned around and walked away. 2 hours wasted on this idiot.
Which perspective was that again?
Yeah, it's like what happens with your news feed on Facebook, you know. If you subscribe to certain things, then you're going to get more of what you want on Facebook that is feeding your beliefs. And so everyone's Facebook timeline or feed is going to be completely different based on their beliefs and what they're looking for and looking at and wanting to look more at. So it's very interesting. It's the same kind of thing.
Facebook has done that, haven't they? They have said, I understand how the world works, and I'm going to mimic it to help people. So if you tend to go and look at Joe Bloggs's Facebook by yourself, it'll start giving you more feeds from that person.
Mm-hmm.
So it understands the law of attraction and is mimicking it in its design, which I think is very impressive.
It is.
Yes. And it's really interesting to go see someone else's feed. You know, it's like a whole new world opens up. Oh, the world is flat. Wow, I didn't know that.
Yep.
And the amount of evidence for it is quite astounding. Really is. Really is.
Don't you think it depends on perspective? Like, where are you standing now? Yes, it does look kind of flat.
No, this guy reckons that it's completely painted and simulated completely.
Is that what it
and
comes
that
out?
There's That's a ceiling it. There, and that if you send up rockets, they can't. There's no space.
Aha! Uh-huh.
So wow. it gets really involved. You know, he believes that there is land beyond the poles.
Okay.
Tons of it, and it goes on forever beyond those big white walls, etc. There is.
But it's not on a curve. It's on a perfectly level surface. It goes on forever.
So, you know, there's a lot involved with believing the world's flat. It's not as simple. And there are people who have been to the poles and who have seen these worlds and come back and talked about them. And there's YouTube videos that you can see, very old ones, of guys who've done it. But nobody's allowed to go there now. And there's, you know, there's an agreement and blah, 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 blah. So it goes on. I mean, but
I'm curious about one thing. Maybe you don't know the answer, but I got to throw it out there anyway, because I've always wondered how they rationalize this. I know there are a lot of people who are very interested in this flat Earth concept, but I'm pretty sure most of them have flown. And when you're up in the air, you can literally see a curvature to the Earth. And so I'm wondering, how do they explain that?
Well, he's explained that. He said that they've worked out the diameter of the Earth. But when you do other calculations of how it's supposed to be round, all of it falls apart based on the diameter.
So basically ignores the evidence of the senses, which is interesting.
Yeah, so basically Abram would say, who cares?
Well, yeah, that's true.
How does it affect your life now? That's what we're getting at. You know, I want to help you manifest what you want now. So it doesn't matter if the Earth is flat or round?
Not really, no.
Shit, I don't.
But
one day when I'm flying in Richard Branson's rocket ship to go to the moon,
you're going to break through the ceiling.
Better there is some atmosphere out there.
And you're just going to be this big hole.
Wall
in the sky.
And I'm going to be splashed.
It's going to be a Louis shaped hole where the rocket goes through.
But that's an interesting. I mean, that's a very obvious. That's a very obvious difference in perspective.
Yes.
But imagine all the different perspectives that we have on all the different subjects in the world. And my goodness, it's all about perspective. That's what is going on in my mind is a completely different perspective from what is going on in your mind or Louis's mind or anyone else's mind.
Exactly.
On every single subject.
Yeah. That's why I'm so fascinated by what their answer would have been to that. Not that I really care at all about flat Earth, but I want to understand their perspective. Their perspective has something to teach me. Even if I find it to be crazy, it still has something to teach me.
That's the reason why I spent 2 hours listening to him. I was fascinated.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because this is somebody who's now got a completely different perspective. He said, a guy said to him, if you go study it and have a look at it and come back to me and prove that the world is round, I will give you £2,000.
Ooh, okay.
And he went and he couldn't prove it. And now he believes that the world is flat, actually. Yeah. So it was really, really interesting. It was a fascinating discussion. And when somebody's got a completely different perspective like that, I absolutely lap it up. I'm so excited because, you know, somebody who crochets or knits very well, et cetera, they've got a great perspective about it all.
Well, I think there's also a great lesson in it, too. One of the things that we as conscious, deliberate creators often find ourselves saying to ourselves, particularly if we have an injury like you have, and the injury hurts a lot and we want the pain to go away and it's not going away quickly, we say to ourselves, wow, it's so hard to get into that imaginary space. It's so hard to imagine what it feels like to have a healthy calf. It's so hard. I mean, we make these generalizations like that. And then we hear stories about flat earthers who have completely managed to totally disabuse themselves of anything that has to do with reinforcing the idea that the planet is round. They've totally taken it outside of their perspective. So it doesn't even, they don't even see it. Mm. They don't even see it. Mm-hmm. I mean, talk about the ability to separate your attention from what your senses are telling you. They're doing it beautifully.
They are. And that's when you start seeing that, you really start realizing that I can create my own reality.
Yeah.
You know, I got this podcast up and I really said, I've always said, I just want somebody to organize everything and I just rock up. So now we've got, I've got somebody who does all the emails. Yvonne is brilliant. You know, she was on the show. Mm-hmm. I've got somebody who finds all the people. We've got 20 people in our first course. We're still filling up the second one. You know, and I've just got to rock up and talk.
Congratulations, by the way.
Yeah, thanks. I'm really excited. Mm. And actually, I was saying to Astrid, I'm not that excited. It's just like, it's more like the next natural step rather than a big wowie. And that's what Abram is always looking for. And he says, if you want to move forward to get to your next step, it should just be a next natural step. And I keep on talking about it. I talked a lot about that with the car. manifesting the Jaguar. And it's such an important thing. It's just like, what else would I be doing in my life? It's natural. It's what's going to happen. Mm. You know, there's no doubt. There's no confusion. There's no questioning. There's no, you know, maybe I'm missing a bit of the excitement of it all, but I think once I get to talk to everybody and feel them all out, it's going to be amazing. I'm really going to enjoy that massively.
Well, I
but
think
that's
also
a really big point.
Oh,
as
go ahead.
Well,
go ahead.
What Louis said, you know, that's a really big point as to the next natural step. And of course, it's that feeling of, yeah, it is the next natural step, and therefore it's totally clear. And so therefore you don't have that adrenaline because it's just the next step. Mm-hmm. That's actually really,
it means low or close to zero resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And that means easy manifestation. That's what it means. Yeah.
That's really good.
I think there's also,
that's a big point.
It is. Mm. I think there's also value in the celebrating. Because I think to me, for myself, my goal is to get to the point every single day of my life where the next step is the next logical step. And it's so easy. And I'm celebrating it. Mm. So I'm feeling really great about everything. Oh, there's the next step. Oh, there's the next step. Oh, yeah, there's the next step. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Now, you're talking about the high-flying disc. And that is really something that, personally, I haven't managed to maintain. And the people that do, their manifestation is through the charts.
Yes.
And I can see myself getting there as I go higher, higher up the emotional scale. and it's really interesting to be clear about where you are and to work with where you are and not where everybody else or where the high gurus are, where this guy is or that guy is. You've got to find where you are, work from that place and appreciate it because you're unique.
Yes.
There's nothing anywhere like you, never has been, never will be. You are unique, and your uniqueness is everything. Your uniqueness is what you came here for. Your uniqueness helps expand the whole. You know, your uniqueness is everything.
And plus, this is a pretty cool experience, this physical lifetime thing.
Yeah.
I mean, every single moment of every single day is just, if you can take your perspective away from, I'm dealing with this massive problem, which is what I was doing for most of the day today. But when I take my perspective away, kind of zoom back and look at the whole picture, like, damn, this place is friggin' amazing. It's just amazing. Look at everything that's manifested here. It's just incredible. And look what I went through. I kept manifesting the same feeling of frustration over and over and over. And it kept getting bigger and bigger. I mean, how cool is that?
The good thing is that you noticed that.
Well, it's easier when I'm not, you know, buried my nose into it like, oh, God, why can't I break through this barrier? And I can sit back and say, whoa, oh, my God, what a process this is. It's just amazing.
And then change it.
And then change it. Well, yeah. I just did, actually, just by doing
that.
Yes, you did.
You changed the feeling.
Just by changing the perspective.
Yeah.
Oh, that perspective is everything. Which raises a question that I think can kind of fill out our conversation about the role of prayer in the law of attraction. And that is, to what extent, and I think I know what the answer is, to what extent is perspective the driving force behind the effectiveness of prayer? What do you think?
Well, let's define the word perspective.
Okay.
How would you do that, Astrid?
Perspective. P-E-R-P-S-E-I-V-E.
No, this is not a spelling bee.
Yay!
Okay, you've stalled now.
Yeah, well, I'm just, yeah.
Yeah, you kind of put her on the spot, too.
It just felt right.
So, Astrid, I'm about to throw some cold water on you. Tell us how you feel about it.
Well, it's kind of getting stuck, and then if you can just get a slight pivot,
an unstuckness.
Yeah, if you can, as you said, zoom back and just get a different picture, then all of a sudden, wow, hang on, right, let's take it from here. It's it's getting unstuck from a place and seeing things in a different way. Or maybe not. Perspective can be what is the picture? And do you want a different perspective? Change the picture. Mm-hmm. And how do you change the picture is try and see the picture first. What is it that you're looking at? What is it that you're feeling? If you know what you're feeling, you can change how you feel. So that, you know, the emotional guidance system for me is all about step changing into a different perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So from despair to anger to contentment to satisfaction to joy, those are all different perspectives on an emotional scale. But obviously there are different perspectives on other levels as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about change. It's about changing through awareness. You get a different perspective when you become aware. You become aware that that some people think or believe that the earth is flat. That's a different perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
So why I asked that question, Astrid, was because in breaking down the definition of words, you get your answers.
Mm. Good one.
And you use the word belief. Belief is a thought you think often. So remove the word belief, replace it with thought you think often. Perspective is really simply when you know what you don't want, you have a better idea what you do want. You know, it's a perspective. So if you break everything down to its simplicity, I can teach LOA in 5 minutes. Because it is so damn simple.
It is. That's true.
It is so damn simple. And in this complicated world of ours, I'm really starting to see the place of religion. Because, boy, have they made things complicated. You know, I could never become a Muslim because if I had to give up bacon, I'd rather kill myself. You know, and what it is, it's just a bunch of rules that everybody makes. Because some are good and some are I would agree with. I have no problem with a lot of them. But why do I have to be shackled with the ones I don't want? I don't want that. I want to be clear and free to choose my belief structure. And I think that life forces us again and again to say, what do I want? What do I believe? Even if you're in any religion. I don't believe there's anybody in any religion who hasn't questioned their religion to some degree or another. I really don't. Because life forces us again and again to say, you know, that doesn't quite feel right. And as soon as you get that, it doesn't feel right, your higher self's giving you an absolute clarity on that. And then when you look at it from another perspective, oh, but that does feel right. And then you've got your answer. But nobody teaches you, of course, your emotions are your guidance system.
Yeah.
Because the good old church, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. And you're sitting there in confessional. It's really confusing because I had sex and I really enjoy it, but I had sex before marriage, and so now I'm going to go to hell, so I have to go confess it. So it's really, you know, and it felt good, you know, it really felt good. So, you know, it's
now,
tough,
what?
Now what? So the confusion reigns in the individual, and then they start getting other problems like, you know, mental problems, etc. And it starts causing a strain because intuitively you believe this and religiously mm-hmm. you're forced to believe that.
Yeah.
And there's this war that goes on in many, many people.
And ain't that the history of humankind?
It is.
So, how, you know, if
in fact,
we can...
I'll even... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry.
No, you first.
No, I was just saying, wouldn't it be great if humanity would break away from that?
I don't know.
Take it a step further. I think humanity is starting to break away.
Exactly.
I think it's an ongoing process.
That is. It is an ongoing process. Yes, yeah. Definitely.
I would disagree. The individual in China, let's for example, who's just got into Christianity, and Christianity is very strong in China, actually. It's got a purity and a strength in it in China that is not anywhere else in the world because of its persecution.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and it's really growing out there. It's growing a lot and fast. And I've read some Christian books that are mind-blowing. You can see this guy understood the law of attraction, and he lived it, and he worked it, and he just flew through it. I mean, in prison, and oh, the stories are incredible in China. Some great books about Christians in China. Mm-hmm. And I believe that, you know, these guys are learning LOA. They're learning to grow within the confines of their religion. And yep. I don't think anything's going wrong anywhere. And the fact that Walt and Astrid seem to think that more people are breaking away from it is because of your perspective. You've broken away from it. Some more people you're seeing have broken away from it because that's your perspective. And the person who's in China who's just joined Christianity is thinking Christianity's growing. I spoke to a lady on the phone. I don't know that I'll talk about this another week, but I think I did. But she was in India, and she was a Christian. And, you know, knowing me on the call, Vodafone, my cell phone company, sorting out a problem, I get this Indian lady and I start chatting to her, and I find out that she's a Christian in India. And I said to her, yeah, well, you're definitely in the minority out there. And she said, oh, no ways. And I said to her, well, let me just Google it quickly. Oh, like 78% is Hindu, 17% is Muslim, and like 3% is Christian.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
So she was like under the impression that Christianity is massive out there, and she was completely devastatedly shocked that it was only 3%.
Oh, no, you burst a bubble.
But I don't think it's a true percentage. I think that there are a lot more Christians in India than people will give credit to, because I don't want to tell people I'm not a Hindu anymore, you know?
And I want to give a little perspective, too, because when I said that I believe that people are moving away from Christianity, I did not mean that I thought Christianity was wrong and something to be moved away from because it was wrong.
No, good.
I wanted to make clear that I think people really are, a large number of people are moving away from Christianity. I don't think that's the final answer. I don't think it's the final step, because there are going to be people who later on are going to perhaps move toward it again, or toward Islam, or toward Buddhism, or toward atheism.
So, Walt, I'm going to stop you there, and I'm going to ask you, what is the yardstick that you should look for at anybody, no matter what their religious or otherwise belief?
Well, when you throw the word should in there, I can basically say none of the above, because should doesn't fit in. Should is a moralistic concept, and it's a confusion that I think a lot of people experience, particularly where law of attraction is concerned, but also where religions are concerned, that there are shoulds that should be defining the way we understand.
Okay, can I rephrase that? Is there a yardstick that you can use that you can use across the board?
For what purpose?
To the purpose of defining expansion.
For the purpose of defining expansion?
In the individual.
I was never really of the opinion that expansion had to be defined within the individual, so I have to sit with that one for a bit. I don't know. Tell me more about what you're trying to drive
at. I'll give you the answer. It doesn't really matter.
All right.
From my perspective, I look at alignment, no matter if they're Christian, and I look at how aligned they are. If they're a Muslim, I look at how aligned they are. If they're a Hindu, I look at how aligned they are. If they're an LOA person, I look at how aligned they are. So the yardstick that I use is alignment. And I don't now look at religions as much as I look at the alignment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was... I'm with you with that. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think that's true. And I don't even think of it as a yardstick. I mean, if that's a concept that works for you, that's fine. To me, it's more like, how do
maybe we can define that better, yeah.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. I have found that emotions, as much as I like Abraham talking about emotions, they have their 22-point emotional scale. And it could be almost any number. It just depends on how many different words you come up with. But they have their 22-point emotional scale. And then I look at that scale and I say to myself, do I think of that as a yardstick when I'm feeling one of those emotions? And the answer is clearly no, I don't. I don't feel like that's a yardstick. The most that I can ever say with any clarity is that this particular feeling that I've got right now is better than that one and worse than this one. And
that's, which is that a yardstick.
Well, I suppose it's a yardstick. It's more like a yard point, like about, you know, that far apart. We're not talking much of a yardstick going on there. We're talking about, I can see this way, I can see that way.
Right. I'm getting your perspective now.
It's pretty two-dimensional. It's like, it's that way or it's that way? Which is it?
I think we're dancing on pinhead, guys.
Well, we are, but... The reason I say that about yardsticks is that thinking about it as a yardstick just kind of boggles my mind. So I like to keep it simple. I just like to keep it down to, does it feel good or does it not feel good? I don't think of it as a yardstick. Now, is it a guide? Sure, it's a guide. And I guess that's what we mean by a yardstick.
Hmm.
It's not something I can really measure.
The guide is softer.
Yeah. The most measurement I can apply to it is like what I talked about earlier. I can say I feel something intensely, or I feel it very mildly, or somewhere in the middle. And so now I'm starting to get a little more of a yardstick going on there, but it's pretty crude. I mean, I couldn't tell you what the units are. It's more like a straight edge than a yardstick at that point.
Yeah. So prayer, in Aloe terms, is simply clarifying what you want from your prayer. Mm. And visualizing it clearly. So guys, see my calf muscle knitting up, bruise fading, all looking good again, strength in my walking. That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm asking you to see when you know what you don't want in your life, to start looking at what you do want. What does it look like? What does it look like? Focus on that for more than 14 seconds and let's manifest so many things that we want quicker.
And, of course, the most important factor is how you feel about that and how you think about that. Because if you're sitting back saying, well, okay, they're doing all the work, and I'm not going to do anything, I'm just going to continue to feel miserable with this horrible injury to my calf muscle, it doesn't matter how much we do, it's not going to help you a whole lot. But if you're the one who's doing, oh, wow, my calf muscle is healed, it just feels so good, then we're reinforcing something powerful at that point.
So... looking at it from a vibrational perspective, you have your vibration and you're the most powerful for you. Agreed.
Sure.
And you have other people's vibration coming in. Now, I've asked for it and I allow it and I'm visualizing it. So, yes, I've got my vibration and I'm adding their good vibration on top of that and I'm running with it.
Yes.
Okay. So that is the kind of visualization you want to have clarity about when you are using other people's vibration. Because, you know, as I've mentioned before, I have this Greenpeace individual who is so worried about the planet. And after a long discussion about Aloe and everything and discussing how if all the world came together and focused on healing the planet for 1 minute – clearly, how quickly do you think the planet would heal?
Instantly.
That removed all the worry and angst from this individual. Completely lifted it off their shoulders.
Good for them.
Oh, nice.
Well done. It was a complete transformation, and it took time. but this is the important thing, is to understand how that process works and to run with it.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. We have 2 minutes left. I want to make sure I get our promotional announcements in there. So if you're not yet subscribing to LOA Today, please become a subscriber. Very simple. Go to loatoday.net. Instructions are at the top of the page. You can also watch us on YouTube because we live stream to YouTube as we're making these recordings and we record there. So you can actually see us while we're doing these recordings. Just go to YouTube and search for LOA Today podcast videos. Click the little subscribe and the bell and you get notified every single time that we post there as well. So please become a subscriber. And guys, thank you for, Louis, thank you for getting hurt. It's a strange thing to say, but you gave us a great.
Excellent. I love that. Well, you said it. You couldn't have said it more perfectly.
I mean, it was great. It was a fabulous topic.
Great discussion.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's a topic that we'll keep coming back to. I know it we will, because we've talked about it before in a variety of different ways. But this idea of being able to heal oneself and then to reinforce the healing that other people are doing is almost endlessly fascinating and fabulous. And all three of us have had experience
very, very
with
powerful.
It. And it's so fun when you heal fast, especially. It's really, really, really fun. It's like, holy cow, I get that.
And life is meant to be fun.
It is meant to be fun. That's right. So thank you, Astrid. Thank you, Louie. And
thank you, Walt.
Thank you, Walt.
Thank you, especially to our podcast listeners. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Bye, everybody.